So thank you for coming to another session. Today we're going to be talking about creating your clutter-free home, your peaceful and clutter-free home. So today we're going to be talking about decluttering, home organization, and it's going to be a Q&A. I want to invite you to take questions, to share your experience, and some of you maybe have done my course, or maybe are in the process of doing my course that is called Creating Your Peaceful and Clutter-Free Home. Some of you, maybe it's the first time that you are joining, and that's okay. But today I want to create some space for you guys to share and to really say what your questions are. And it's funny because today, thank you, Alison. Welcome to your new home. Yes, enjoy your new place. Yeah, so I moved into a new place, and this is not it, by the way, because of course nothing goes as planned. And what happened is that the internet was supposed to get installed on Friday, last Friday, and it didn't, because the technician couldn't get as high as he needed to do it or whatever. So I don't have internet, so I needed to come to my mom's house. So this used to be my bedroom a while ago, but now it has changed quite a bit. So I had to run here to connect to the internet because the internet in my phone wasn't good enough. So I almost canceled, but I didn't. I'm here with you. Hi, Jessica. First time, looking forward to doing your course. Amazing. Welcome. Thank you for joining. And yeah, I told myself, it doesn't matter that I'm moving. I am not saying no to my inside timer. I'm not saying no to the work I do because it's a priority for me. And there are no excuses. Everything else can get done after or before. And it's funny because what I'm doing now, I am moving into a new home, a new apartment. It's not furnished. It only had a few things, but the logistics behind setting up a new home, finding everything that you need, talking to people, I'm trying to be resilient, buy everything secondhand as much as possible. It's just a lot of work. And it really takes a lot of capacity, energy, and it really drains me. So, yeah, this is a great example for me to really come down to the woods again and really realize, yeah, this is what so many of you are facing now. And now I am facing the same thing. So I can really relate to the feelings of feeling overwhelmed, feeling tired, feeling stress, anxiety, feeling like I want this to be done. I want to get going with the things that I want to do rather than the logistics of life. So yeah. So guys, I invite you to share in the chat. Do you have any questions about decluttering, about organizing? What can I support you with today? Laura says, moving can feel stressful. When I moved to my new home, I didn't feel like myself for months. Yeah, Laura, and you know what? It is true. You have to create that home wherever you are moving into. And this is why my wife, Samantha, and I, we place a lot of value in setting up a home that feels home. Setting up a place that doesn't matter where we are, we want to feel home. We want to feel comfortable. And we make it a priority to set that up. We don't want to drag this for weeks. We want to get it done as fast as possible. So some people don't need that. And this is something that is important to recognize. Some people can thrive, doesn't matter how the environment looks like. And some people, they thrive having an organized environment. So you have to learn more about yourself, more about how you feel. And sometimes you have to discover what that looks like. Because many times we are not aware of the impact that physical clutter and lack of organization in your home can have in your mental health, in your productivity, in your mood, in your relationships with your family members. And sometimes we don't realize the huge connection between that and physical clutter, lack of organization systems, basically not feeling well in your home, basically feeling frustration. And frustrations, as you guys may know by now, if you have been coming to my sessions, I always say that frustrations are the entry points for you to discover things that you can change. Things that you can change in your life. So when you're feeling frustrated, that is a sign that there is something that it is not working. There is something that can use some tweaking, some changing. And it's very important to stay curious, to look at things without judgment, to be gentle with ourselves, and to really explore What can I do different here? How can I set up this space different? How can I have a different habit around this specific space or this specific task that I'm trying to do? yeah. So in the course, so Kenya says, I will be implementing your 12 steps of letting go of things I may feel an attachment to as I continue to declutter one room at a time. So Kenya is referring to the 12 questions to be able to let go of emotional items. There is a list of 12 questions that you can ask yourself. And that is a resource that you can find. I have an audio that you can listen to, that you can find it. It is included in my course, and you can find it also in my website. So it's called The 12 Questions to Ask When Letting Go of Emotional Items or Difficult Items. And asking those questions are really, really helpful. So Alison says, I need to overhaul my office, which has many papers from programs and seminars. I need to let go of this and contact the companies if I need this again, or scan essentials to computers? Question mark. So Alison, one of the things that I find when it comes to papers and decluttering paper, it's really important to gain clarity first of what is it that you are doing and get all the answers that you need before you make decisions on those papers. I also recommend that you organize and move everything else and leave paper to the end if possible, because paper takes a lot of time. That's why I always organize the physical space first and then we do the paper after. But I want you to have a visual impact, a visual transformation. And I promise you that if you can create a visual transformation first, you are going to feel more empowered, more motivated, and you are going to get a feeling of how it feels like with a space that you feel well in. And then tackling the paper is going to be easier for you. Anytime you have lack of clarity about paper or you need answers, think about who can I ask to get this answer? Do I really need to keep these papers? Are they available online? Do I need to refer to them in the future? So maybe you need to ask your lawyer, your accountant, your partner, whoever that is, and then gain clarity about all the information that you need to make a confident decision. Because if you start tackling paper and decluttering paper and you don't have this clarity, you're going to have a really hard time deciding and knowing what to let go and what to keep. And it's very important to gain that clarity first. Okay, so let me see what else. Kathleen says, last Tuesday after your session, I spent a few hours organizing my living room. Now, every time I walk through, it makes me feel so happy and peaceful. Kathleen, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And I honor you for doing that. This is a clear example of why it is so important to create a transformation that is visually appealing to you. Because if you can do that, then you can move forward with more motivation and more intention. I get this a lot when I help people declutter, when my wife and I do sessions, maybe we transform one space in one session, and then we get a phone call, a message from that client, and they say, wow, every time I feel overwhelmed, I just go to that space that is decluttered, and I just sit there, and I breathe, and I look around, and I feel proud of myself. And we are so happy to hear that, because that's what we want to give you. We want to give you the experience of what it looks like, the possibilities that you have in front of you, and you just have to get started. So Becca says, the bookshelves I'm cleaning have caused more clutter with the boxes I put them in. What to do? So Becca, the bookshelves you are clearing have caused more clutter with the boxes I put them in. What to do? So I'm not quite understanding this. So are you taking all the papers and putting them in boxes, and then you have the boxes and you have the bookshelves empty? Is that the problem that you are facing? I quite don't understand. Boxes I put the books into. So what is your goal here? What are you trying? What is the final outcome that you are trying to achieve here? What is the final outcome? Are you trying to have space for books? Are you trying to declutter and organize your papers? Are you trying to let go of things? Like, what is the final, like the snapping technique? If you could snap your fingers and you can see that space transform and finished, how does it look like? And this is what I always ask my clients. We always ask this to the clients before we get started. Like, if you could do this and you could see the space completely transform, however you like it, what do you see? Describe it to me. And that's what we use to make that space a reality. Because I am not a magician. I don't know what's in their brain. I don't know what you may want. And I don't make assumptions, because organization can look something different for each person. So I'm trying to understand what that person is trying to create and why. And then I can get in their mindset and I can help them co-create something together. But this is not me creating something for them. This is me helping them co-create something together. So making their vision a reality and tweaking it in an organized way. But it's not me trying to impose a system on them. And this is what I want you guys to do with yourselves. Don't try to impose on yourself something that you don't feel well with. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to do anything a specific way. You can choose to create a system, create a method, create an environment that you feel comfortable using and maintaining. But you have the answers for that, okay? The boxes full of books are causing clutter. So, Becca, of course they are causing clutter because you are not finished. The process looks like you become aware, you declutter, you organize and create permanent homes for everything that you are keeping, you beautify the space, and then you maintain it. Okay, so those are the steps that you are going to follow. Those are the steps that I recommend you to follow because they work. I have done this for over 10 years with hundreds of people. And that's what I share in my course. So first you become aware. What do you want? Why are you doing this in the first place? What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? Why are you decluttering in the first place? And then getting clarity with that. Then you are going to declutter. Declutter means questioning everything that you have and making decisions. Is this a keep? Is this a go? Is this a keep? Is this a go? You are going to do that with everything. And of course, it's going to look worse become before it looks better. When you declutter, you are spreading things around and it seems that it's way messier. It's normal. Once you have decided what stays and you have let go of everything else, by taking it outside of the space, you can donate it, you can sell it, you can, whatever way you can use to let go of the things that you no longer need, then you are going to organize those things. What does it mean to organize those things? Everything that you are keeping needs to have a home. So you have to create a permanent home for everything that you keep. This is really important. If you don't have a permanent home, you are going to have physical clutter. Basically, things that don't have a home. You don't know where to place them. So in your case, if you are decluttering books and you have books in a box, first of all, why did you put the books in a box? That will be my first question. Why are you doing that? Second, are those books keep or donate? Keep or go away? And if they are keep, where are you going to store them when you are finished? Are they going to live in a bookshelf, or do you have enough space to store all the books that you are trying to keep? Because this is another problem that I also face with clients. They are trying to keep way more than they have space for. And then this is the relationship, the happy balance between how much space you have and how many things you are keeping. And they have to match. Because if you are keeping way more than you have space for, you are going to have clutter because there is not enough space to create homes for everything that you are keeping. If you have more space than things, then you don't have a problem. Then you have enough space to store things. So this is another approach, like finding that happy balance. The smaller your home, the more intentional you have to be and the more ruthless you have to be with making decisions because you don't have the luxury of space. So depending on what you're trying to do, Becca, depending on what is your final outcome that you're trying to achieve, then you will create that home for those books if they are keep. If they are not keep, then I invite you to let them go, donate them, sell them, do whatever you need to. But I repeat again, when you guys are decluttering, things are going to look messier before they look better. Okay? This is normal. It's always like that. Imagine you have a junk drawer, okay? And right now the drawer is closed and there is no clutter, but there is stuff inside that you want to organize. You're going to open that drawer, and what are you going to do? You're going to take everything out. You're going to empty the drawer somewhere, on a table, on a bed, on the floor, And then you're gonna say, oh my God, there is so much clutter. Well, you are in the process of decluttering. Of course there is clutter. Of course there are things laying around. You are making decisions. So you have to be gentle with yourself. You have to be patient. You need to understand the process. And you need to really understand that you are taking action and things look messier, but you are moving forward. This is the same when people are moving. They sometimes call me and say, Emilio, my house is a disaster. There are boxes everywhere. I need help. I am so disorganized. And then I go there and then I realize, wow, this person said, yeah, we are moving in 2 months. We are just getting ready to go to the new place. Well, then you are in a temporary chaos that is inevitable. You are going to move homes and it's going to be messy. Sooner or later, it's going to get messy. It's just the way it is. And I'm just moving homes right now. And even though I'm a professional organizer, if I show you a picture of the in-between, you will be like, ah, who is this guy teaching us how to do this? And look at his house. It will be amazing. You will be like, that's so much clutter, so much stuff everywhere with no order or whatsoever. Because we just dump everything in there really quickly from the other home. And then we started to organize it and declutter whatever we didn't need. But it is a process and it takes time. Okay? So I hope that that was helpful. Let me know if I can help you deeper, Becca, if I can support you further. So Kenya says, what's the best advice to organize paperwork besides leaving it last? So let's talk about paperwork, okay, for everybody. Every time I organize someone's home, someone's space, I always tell them the same thing. Don't get started with paper. We did that mistake and it didn't work. We did that. We spent probably 4 hours going through paper. We didn't create a visual transformation for that person. And I remember their partner came into the door 4 hours later. And this is what he said, literally. What have you guys have been doing for the past 4 hours? And we were looking at him. And look at the filing cabinet. Look, we went through all this paper. So we didn't create a visual transformation. That day we learned the hard way how important it is to do that. Paper is very draining, takes a lot of energy, and it doesn't give you any visual transformation. That's why we always recommend to leave it to the last, okay? Of course, you will say, but I have to deal with papers now. I have to do my taxes now. Again, you are decluttering. This is not a one-year process. It shouldn't be that long. It should be shorter than that. If you are doing papers, then I recommend that you do paper all at once. So gather all the papers that you have everywhere, put them all together, and then start going through that paper. And it's going to be overwhelming, yes. The more volume you have of papers, the more overwhelming it's going to be. But I can tell you that we have done paper sessions up to 8 hours straight with a client. We did a dentistry office one time. They wanted to go through all the paper that they had for the last 15 years. And we did it in 8 hours. That person pushed through, and I was tired, and I was telling her, I don't know how you have energy, I can't. I want to go home. It's been enough for me. But in 8 hours, we did all the papers, boxes and boxes and boxes of paper. How did we do it? In the corridor, we started to create piles by year. And inside that year, we started to create piles by category that made sense to that person. So this is also paper is also I have a specific lesson in the course that I guide you through so that you have the specific step by step on how to do it. But basically, you are going to create the system while you go through the paper. So I invite you to gather all the paper, put it all in one place, and then I invite you to have space to spread papers to start creating the piles that you need. You can use the floor, you can use folding tables, you can use counters, you can use a bed, you can use whatever you want, but you have to have space to start creating piles. And if I were helping you, I will go paper by paper. What is this? And you will tell me, this is an utility bill. Do you need it? Yes. Okay. What's the name? Hydro. Okay. I will write on a piece of a masking tape, Hydro. And I will put that label and I will start a pile that is called Hydro. Next paper. What is this? Oh, this is the insurance. Do you need it? No, I receive it by email. Okay. Shredding. What is this? And then I will go like this and you will think that it will take forever and it goes really fast. Honestly, the faster you make the decisions, the faster the process goes. And the sooner you decide what you are keeping and what you don't have to keep, the sooner we can go through all that paper. And then at the end of the process, you will have piles with specific names. So then I invite you to take those names and create. I always recommend to store papers vertically, like filing cabinet style. And you don't need to have a filing cabinet, okay? You can use a filing cabinet that there are big ones, small ones. You can use a banker's box that is like $2. And you can have legal size and the two sizes that are available, okay? Why vertical? Because vertical, you can have hanging folders, you can put the labels with the name, and you can look very quickly through them. And you can create those categories on that filing system, and all of a sudden you are done. Your paper is organized with labels that you understand. That's why I don't recommend that you organize alphabetically. I don't recommend that you follow specific systems that may seem confusing to you. I recommend that you use the names that you understand. And those are some of the ways that I will recommend you to do paper. And yes, Alison says, oh my God, only 8 hours. Alison, 8 hours. A whole, I think it was 15 years backlog of paper. You wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It's like, I can't believe we did all of this in 8 hours. And the person was super happy, very drained, but all of a sudden she was ready for taxes. She had a clear system moving forward. And it was just a one-day project. Can you believe that? It's amazing. But you don't have to do it in 8 hours. You can do it in more time, okay? So everybody has a different pace. This person knew, had a lot of clarity about the categories that she needed to keep. She knew what the accountant needed. She knew what the taxes were required from her, what kind of categories she needed to keep. So she had a lot of clarity and she was making decisions really, really fast. That is the thing. That's why I invite you to really gain clarity about what you need. Because if you start facing the papers and you don't have the clarity and you cannot make the decisions, your brain is gonna get toasted in no time because you don't know what to do with it. And you're gonna feel overwhelmed. But if you have all the information, no, I don't need this. Yes, I need this. Oh, I only need 7 years of this. Oh, this is a no-brainer. No, I received it by email. It's digitally and I don't need a copy. No, my accountant told me that I don't need that. So all of a sudden you have so much clarity and then you can create a system that makes sense for you. So let me see the comments. So are you recording? I'm going to share this. I know you have your course. I plan to do it. Yeah, so for all of you, I record all of my live sessions and they're available on my profile link on Insight Timer. So if you just go to my profile link and you check in there, you will see an option that is Insight Timer Live Recordings. You can click in there and you can find all the recordings for the past almost 3 years in there. And now I am adding video and audio. So you can see my face too if you want to watch, or you can listen if you only want to listen on the go, okay? And you can find it on my profile link. I really recommend that you take the course if you can and use the course classroom to get support at the end of every lesson, because I designed that course to make it an experience for you and to make sure that you can do this, because you can. I believe that you can. But there is a method, there is a process to it. And there is a lot of experience from my background that I have created that course in a specific way because I have seen what works and what doesn't. And the first thing that I cover in the course is all about awareness. It's all about becoming aware of your current situation. It's all about accepting your current situation, processing all the emotions that are underlying and coming up for you. because many times, if we don't process the emotions that are in there, we cannot make a change, physically speaking. Let me show you one example of a person that is taking my course and something that she shared in the course that I'm pretty sure some of you are gonna feel, are gonna relate to. So she was doing the exercise of visualizing, okay? Because I invite you to visualize what the space looks like, one specific space of your home, visualize that space finished. This person was visualizing that space, and something that came up for her was, I am feeling selfish to claim space for myself. So that was something that was in there for her. It's like, it feels selfish to me to claim space just for myself. And she had enough space, so it's not that she was stealing space from someone else. The house was big. She had enough space to claim one space just for her, a room, and she was feeling selfish. So let me ask you a question. If you are feeling selfish claiming space, how likely are you to be able to declutter and organize that space if you are feeling already selfish before you get started? Would you say that you are going to self-sabotage yourself somehow because it doesn't feel right? Because that's what was happening to her. She said, I just can't get it done. I just can't declutter because anytime I get started, it just feels wrong. I feel selfish. I feel not right. And I don't want to do something that doesn't feel right. I don't want to do something that feels selfish because selfish is something that I don't want to be related to. But that's what she was feeling. So she needed to do a little bit of emotional processing. She needed to investigate, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling selfish? Where is this coming from? Is it coming from my infancy? Is this coming from a person that told me something? Where did I adopt this belief? And what is the belief underlying that emotion that I have? And maybe the belief was, this. I'm making this up, okay? I don't know. But maybe from other people that I have seen, they never were allowed to claim space when they were little. So maybe their father, their mother, a family member was telling them, who are you to claim this? You are not allowed to have space. And they believe that and they create a belief. I am not allowed to claim space. Having a room just for myself is selfish. Someone else may need it more than I am, than I do. And then all of a sudden, that belief is trumping every effort that this person has to declutter and organize. So that's why if you don't tackle that emotional processing, if you don't transform that belief, limiting belief, into an empowering belief, and you actually believe it, you are not going to be able to move forward with the process because it's gonna just be too overwhelming and it's going to be too emotionally charged for you. That's why sometimes it's so important to really do the invisible work, I call it. This is the invisible work that doesn't have an impact physically yet, but it is necessary, it is a must if you want to keep moving forward after expressing that in the physical space. So there is a huge connection here, and many times we don't realize the connection that exists, and we are feeling overwhelmed, not because of the physical space, but because of how we are feeling. And until we don't change the way we feel, we will not be able to make an impact, physically speaking, in that space. So that's why my work has transformed over the years into a lot of mental and emotional processing. And that's why there is a lot of healing involved. There is a lot of deep work that is way deeper than you may think. But it is necessary. And if you don't do it, it just won't work, because you are going to self-sabotage yourself, because the belief that is running your actions is just a limiting belief. And if you don't question and transform that belief into a new one, you are just going to keep doing the same thing because that's what feels good and normal and familiar to you. Okay? So let me see. So what's coming up for you guys about everything that I have shared? And do you have any further questions about any of the things that I have answered so far? Do you need more clarity? We talk about paperwork. We talk about the emotions around decluttering. We talk about things getting messier before they get better, and that it's normal. I shared the steps that I recommend that you follow when you are decluttering and organizing your home. So what is something else that you... So Betty says, I just came in. Can you give me a short review? So Betty, I invite you to watch the recording if you can after. But basically, we are talking about... we are doing a Q&A about physical clutter. I have a course that is called Creating Your Peaceful and Clutter-Free Home. And this talk, this session is all about creating space for questions that you guys may have. Okay? So, I just joined. Can you share the steps again, please? Okay, I'm going to share the steps because I think that this is a good reminder for all of you. So, the steps that I recommend that you follow are first is becoming aware. Okay, becoming aware of your current situation, becoming aware of what you want to create, setting clear intentions, accepting your current situation, forgiving yourself for everything that you have done in the past that you didn't like or it wasn't the right thing to do, whatever emotional and mental processing you need to do, and whatever you need to do to visualize and gain clarity about what you are trying to create, that I call awareness. And that's step number one. Because if you don't do that step, you are not going to have clarity to move forward with the next step. Okay, so awareness, becoming aware, setting intentions, visualizing your space finished, etc., etc. Second step is decluttering. With that information that you gain in the awareness stage, you are going to declutter. Declutter means confronting everything that you own right now and questioning, do I need this thing? How is this thing going to help me achieve what I said in my awareness stage? So if in the awareness stage, for example, I'm looking at this room that I am in and I ask you, what do you want to do in this room? And you tell me, I want to read, I want to work on my computer, I want to listen to music, I want to be able to record courses, I want to be able to sew. You tell me those five things. And we start going through things, and then all of a sudden, I just find this thing. And I say, okay, guys, what's this? And then you tell me, I don't know, how is this going to help you achieve any of the things that you told me? And then you're going to say, it's not. So do we keep it? And then you will say, no, it's a donate. Okay, I will put it to donate. And then I will do that process with everything that you own. And then you will make decisions. That's the decluttering, step number two, okay? Once you have done the decluttering everywhere in the room and you have assessed everything that you have, yes, everything. So the decluttering, we start in one corner of the room and we will touch everything in that room. We can do it by categories. We can do it by, there are different methods of doing it. And it depends on the person. It depends on the environment. I may choose one approach or another, but the decluttering is that. Questioning everything that you have and making decisions and only keeping what you really truly need. Only keeping the things that belong in your life moving forward and letting go of everything else. Letting go can mean sell, donate, auction, gift, whatever. But it's just leaving the space. It doesn't live in that space anymore. Okay? So step number one, becoming aware. Step number two, decluttering. Step number three will be organizing. Once you have decluttered everything that no longer belongs in your life, okay, you are going to, with the things that you have decided to keep, you are going to organize them. Organizing means creating permanent homes for everything that you are keeping. Everything needs to have a place that you are going to put it on. Okay, you are going to create systems. You are going to create a way for you to use that space conveniently, functionally. Eliminate frustrations that you may, and then a way for you to be able to do the activities that you wanted to do. In this case, I saw listening to music, reading, working on the computer, I saw sewing, and whatever activities you chose to do. Okay? Once you have organized, then you beautify. That will be the next step. You make the space looks amazing. You display the things that you love. You put art on the wall. You may paint the walls a different color. You may put a plant. You may display things that bring you joy, memories from trips, whatever you want. Is your space. Make it yours. Express it in the way that feels good to you. That will be the beautifying. And then you will maintain it. Okay, that will be the maintenance. That will be the last step. Maintaining the space. Having routines and ceremonies that allow you to maintain that space and keep it organized. Okay, so it's becoming aware, decluttering, organizing, beautifying, and maintaining. Okay, so those are the main steps. One mistake that I always see people doing a lot is they just go to the organizing right away and they miss becoming aware and they miss decluttering. And let me tell you one thing, it doesn't work. Let me repeat it again, it doesn't work. Let me tell you again, it does not work. Okay, so if you take that approach and you have a lot of things, it just doesn't work. Because it doesn't make sense to organize things that you don't need. Most likely you have way too many things and you are overwhelmed. And if you are overwhelmed, the first thing that you need to do is declutter, is move the energy. It's bring fresh energy into the space that you are trying to organize and declutter. Okay, you have to move that stagnant energy into fresh energy with your intentions, with your goals, with your motivation, with the things that you want to create in your life moving forward. And that's how you start activating that space, energizing that space. And that's why the decluttering process can be so healing, can be so energetic, can be so draining too, because you are moving a lot of energy. You are questioning decisions you made. You are confronting memories that the items may have, etc., etc., etc. And that's why sometimes it's very difficult. And another thing is like that I also cover in that course is the importance of communication with other people that are involved in the process. Communication clearly, respectfully. How can you do that in a way that is good, in a way that is respectful, in a way that honors everybody's needs and wants? And that is really, really important. So many times I try to organize spaces where family members interact, and many times I find myself being a mediator, because sometimes it's very difficult to sit them all in one place and to let them interchange ideas without getting upset, without getting emotionally charged. And sometimes it's really good to have someone else come up and then kind of serve as a intermediate, like, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want? What do you need? You told me this, you told me that. So what happens if we do this? How does that feel for you? How does that feel for you? And then it's easier to find the happy ground when everybody has the opportunity to express what they would like to see, what they would like to do, how they would like to feel, what frustrates them, what they love. And then all of a sudden they feel validated. They feel like they are a part of the process. And from that space of feeling that way, then you can co-create something as a family together. But that communication is essential first. Erin says, Emilio, can you suggest any process flow details for laundry in a house with 5 people who all contribute to washing, etc.? Keeping clothes off the floor. My husband is the biggest challenge for laundry clutter. So Erin, laundry, a big frustration for many, because we have to do it all the time because we get dressed every day, right? Unless you are a nudist and you don't have clothes, that I don't believe many of you are, we all have to deal with clothes. So Erin, I have 2 recommendations for you, okay? I have an episode that I did on Inside Timer that is called Creating Your Laundry Flow. Creating your closet and laundry flow. That is the name of the episode. I invite you to find that and re-listen to that. But basically what I shared in that is the strategy on how can you create a system that allows you to keep a closet and a laundry system going and why they are interconnected, right? And this is very simple. We all get dressed. So if you look deep down, how often you're going to do laundry is going to have a huge impact on how big your closet needs to be. Because if you do laundry once a week, you're going to need 7 sets of clothes if you want to change every day. If you do laundry every other week, all of a sudden you need double the amount of clothes before you do the laundry. If you do laundry once a month, all of a sudden you need to get dressed for 30 days without washing anything. And all of a sudden the amount of clothes that you need are going to be way bigger. So that's why there is a big connection and relationship between closet and laundry system. So in your case, 5 of you, I will recommend that you create a system that works for the people that are using it. In my family, there are 3 of us, okay? It's not 5, but there are 3 of us. Samantha and I, we share a bin in our bedroom. Anytime we have laundry, we put it in there. And then we will separate whites from color and darks, okay? When we do the laundry, but we have just 1 bin in the closet. And then we just throw the dirty clothes in there. My daughter Eva, she has a laundry bin that we started teaching her from very little to drop the things in there when they are dirty, and then she knows where to place the clothes when they are dirty. So very important for them to understand what they are doing and why they are doing it, and to do it in a way that feels good to them. Because we try different ways with Eva, and what she likes is to drop things. She likes to throw things into a basket, into a bucket. That's what works for her. So that's what we do with her. So in your case, depending on the house, depending on how many levels you have, maybe you can create a system by room, and every family member has a something in the room, and then they are responsible to take that when it's full to the laundry room and then wash it. Another approach can be to have a common one on each floor, and then one person is in charge of laundry. And then my wife and I, we alternate doing laundry because we don't love doing laundry, any of us. So we alternate, and then we make it balance. Sometimes she does it, sometimes I do it. I know in other households, it's always him. In other households, it's always her. Sometimes a family member loves doing laundry and they don't care doing it, and the other person doesn't care taking the garbage out, and that's the interchange. So it's very important to really put on the table all the frustrations that you may be feeling. Really express them in a way that everybody else can understand. And if you are feeling frustrated because maybe you are the only one doing laundry, then you need to change that. You need to communicate that you don't want to be responsible for all of that. How can we make this different? What are ideas that come to mind? And sometimes by opening up the floor to ideas, you may be surprised of what others may share with you. About like, oh, I never thought of that system, that process, that approach. Let's give it a try. And this is all about testing and tweaking, okay? There is not a right or wrong method here. There is the method that will work for you and your family. I will invite you to test and tweak until you find what works, okay? So try to have a laundry in each room. If it doesn't work, try to have a laundry basket on each floor. If it doesn't work, try to have the uncomfortable conversation with your husband, with your kids, about what does laundry look like, how often is that done, who is responsible for what, how can you make the process less overwhelming for yourself, etc., etc. And test and tweak until you find what works for you and your family. So, yeah, I don't know if that is helpful. I know that every family dynamics is different. I know that maybe your situation is very unique. And again, I will be happy to support you if you can give me more background, more data. And if you are taking any of my courses, I will invite you to use the course classroom, because that's what's for. If you can share the specifics of the situation, I normally listen to the message. I will reflect about it for a few hours. And then when I feel ready, I will reply to you with what I feel can be really helpful for you. And that's my recommendation. Okay. So if you have time, can you please scroll back to my previous comments, right? Define where we are going first. Let go of what no longer serves. So T, would you mind copying and pasting that? Probably I missed it. Sorry. Erin says helpful. We are usually doing laundry every day and getting in each other's way. So Erin, another good question. If you are doing laundry every day, maybe you need to question, like, is it really necessary to do laundry every day? Maybe we need to get on the same page about what does it mean for clothes to be dirty? Because you can rewear something a few times until before it gets dirty. And so many times, especially with kids, they just put everything in the laundry, but it is not necessary. With Eva, when I take the clothes off, I always look with her and I say, Eva, what do you think? Is this laundry or is this, can we put it on again? And then she will look at it, she will smell it, and then she will say, laundry, puppy. Or she will say, no, keep it. I think I can wear it again. And we will look for stains, we will look for smell. And so many times she can wear the same thing a few times. So maybe redefining what it means to be dirty can be a helpful step. Yeah, and if some people get changed a few times a day and they put everything in the laundry, then that is a choice, because I guarantee you that most likely those clothes are not dirty. They don't have to be washed as often. So let me see. I'm going to scroll down. Hi, Emilio. Have you ever come across someone who used to be very clean, neat and tidy, but has lost that touch? I'm still very clean, used to be very organized even 10 years ago, but now get really overwhelmed when I go into my closet. I always think I will declare it on day X, but never do it. Any thoughts on how I can get started and keep the motivation? Yeah, so something has changed here for you, most likely. Life evolves for all of us, and sometimes we go through transitions, and sometimes we just evolve. We just change the way we do things. we change the way we operate, our priorities may change, and there is nothing wrong with that. Sometimes maybe we don't place as much priority in how we look like, in how we keep our space organized. Maybe we are doing spending our time and energy doing something else. I guess my question to you will be, are you frustrated with this change? Are you trying to force yourself to do something that you truly don't want to be doing? Or are you truly frustrated with this and you would like to improve it? And if the answer is yes, I want to improve it and I am frustrated, then my next question will be to really understand what changed, what is underneath this physical change that you are noticing? Why are you developing different habits? And then I would probably look at life events that may have happened, things that may have made you change the way you think, the way you operate. And really, I will go deep into the awareness of what happened, what's going on, what are the beliefs underneath the habits that you are following. Is there anything you can process? Is there anything you can change? Maybe you are lacking exciting goals, exciting intentions, and maybe spending some time dreaming, some time with yourself, really discovering what's next for me in life, what is something that makes me excited. Sometimes that's needed. Sometimes that can be in the form of taking some time for yourself, going on a trip, doing something completely different that will take you out of your normality routine life and will take put you in a place of unknown and uncertainty and excitement and adventure, and then you can come back to your life with a fresh energy. There are many things that you could try. And again, if this is something that, I don't know if you are enrolling one of my courses or not, but if you are enrolling one of my courses, I invite you to, in the course classroom, share the specifics of what's happening for you. And I will be happy to really listen to that, think about it, and then share what I feel can be helpful. And any ideas, strategies that come to mind, I will follow my intuition with you, okay? So time is almost up, guys. I see other questions that I didn't get to. Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for participating in this call. Happy to do another one soon about this topic, because this is a very hot topic that everybody always has lots of questions. My invitation to you is that anytime you're feeling a frustration, anytime you have a question, try to be specific with the question. Try to dive deeper into, don't ask me, how can I organize papers or how can I organize my home? Try to go deeper with yourself first so that you can become more intentional about narrowing down what is the frustration, the specific frustration that I am encountering here. What is the specific thing that I would like to change here? And the more specific you get, the easier it's going to be for you to recognize what's happening, to dive deeper into the emotions, the patterns, the habits that you're following, and the easier it's going to be for you to share this with others, share this with me in a form of a question that then I'm going to be able to dive deeper with you and answer you with way more detail. So my invitation to you is that, to spend some time with yourself, become aware of what the frustration is, become aware of what you want to change, become aware of what are the exciting goals and intentions that you are setting up for yourself. And even though you may not know how to make them a reality yet, but at least you are moving towards that, okay? Very hot topic. Can we have a live Zoom session so we can ask specific questions? Yeah, I am available for that, for Zoom sessions. If you guys are interested, I offer them. And you can find them on my profile link also. There is an option for one-on-one with me. I would love if Insight Timer had that capability, but it doesn't. And I try to do some calls on my platform, but it's very difficult to get people there. It just takes so much more energy. So that's why I'm doing them here. But yeah, you can actually book a call with me if you want to. Or the easiest for you, if you are on Insight Timer and you are a Members Plus already, enrolling any of my courses. I have 5 of them. And use the course classroom to get deeper guidance from me. That's another option that you have available to you. Okay, so guys, thank you so much. If you found this session helpful, as always, feel free to donate. You can click somewhere here to donate. Thank you for your donations. I see a few coming in. Your donations help me support my work and my time and keep showing up for you. I love doing this work. I love supporting you, and these live sessions are really amazing. I always find them very engaging. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. I will schedule some more lives for next week. I haven't yet because I have been moving and I didn't have the time. But yeah, so thank you so much for your presence as always, and I hope to see you next week on Tuesday at the same time. I am going to change the time back to 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. my time, because this time it doesn't work as well for me. This is an example of trying, testing and tweaking, right? I will share more about this in the circle that you guys can join. It's called Your Thriving Lifestyle. It's my Inside Timer circle, okay? And if you guys are interested in a group workshop, reach out to me and tell me that you are interested. And then if I have a few people interested, I'm happy to do a live Zoom call that we can interact more in person. That will be amazing. So feel free to reach out. And then once I have a few, I'm happy to schedule some. Okay, guys, see you next week, or see you in my courses throughout this weekend if you guys are enrolled. Okay. Adiós.